It is a 4th of July celebration holiday, and it's good to just remember that and to be thankful. I know we can turn on the television or read a news article and get frustrated and have a very frustrated time thinking, what's happening to my country? But still, let me just encourage you. It's the voice of the Christians that will matter. So let's just celebrate our country, be thankful for the country we're in, and have a good time celebrating. Just curiosity, that my daughter Abby, it's her birthday. She's born on the 3rd, and she's 24, and America's 240. So I'm a math guy. Numbers interest me. I thought that was neat. So she's 24, and America's 240. So there we go. That was for free. That's not part of the sermon. But Gabe, you can go ahead and put that PowerPoint up. So I think I wanted to kind of pick up where John was last week. So if you were with us last week, Dr. Wheeler was at the start of John 18 when Jesus went into the garden, fell on his face and prayed. And then we quickly flip back over to Matthew because, let me get over there. In Matthew 26, Jesus said this. He said, "My Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me." And then he said that great phrase, "Yet not as I will, but as you will." And that phrase we talk about, that was being both obedient to the Father as well as submissive, submitting to what the Father's will was. And I thought, great topic. Let's do that. So today we're going to talk about obedience and submission. And I wanted to think through that, because oftentimes we have words together, obedience and submission. They go together. We kind of think the same. Somewhat, I thought, let me think of a couple other examples where we use words together. And I thought, okay, screaming and yelling. The other day, we were watching the dinosaur movies, and there are a lot of people running around screaming and yelling. And you think of that phrase, and they have a lot of similarities, screaming and yelling, but there's actually a distinction, right? Because screaming is unintelligible sounds. Ah! That's screaming. And yelling is actually saying something loudly. Like if you're watching the Twister movie, most of that movie was the word run, right? Run! Look out! That's yelling. So screaming and yelling, though they're similar and they go together, and you can say, yeah, screaming and yelling. The kids in the backyard are screaming and yelling. And it has a lot of similarities, and they kind of go together, but there's a distinction. Screaming is distinctly different from yelling, right? We just got done doing praise and worship. And praise and worship, some folks start to interchange. We had praise and worship time. And they sound the same. We do both with music. But there's a distinction between praise and worship. Praise is something you can do from afar. I can praise God from afar. The scripture says, even the trees of the field clap, the trees praise God. When Jesus was going into Jerusalem, he said, even the rocks would cry out and praise me. So praise is speaking about the Lord. Yet worship, oh come, let us worship and bow down before him. Worship is speaking to the Father. To God, right? So praise and worship, there are a lot of similarities. You can do them together, but there's some distinctions. Same thing with obey and submit. They look alike. They have a lot of things together. They go together great, but there's some distinctions. And so today, let's talk a little bit about those distinctions and what they mean to us as those who are following after Jesus Christ and understanding what it is to obey and what it is to submit. So let's begin. First off, the word, I always have to go look at the Greek because I'm interested in it. I'm definitely not a Greek scholar. But the Greek word that's most commonly translated obey is hupakuo. And then the word for submit is hupotasso. You don't need to know what those spell, but basic, the meaning of the word, remember, Scripture was written, New Testament was written in Greek, and they translated to English. If we were in France, we would not be using the words obey or submit. We'd be using the French words. So I want to go back to the original language. What is this they're talking about? And so I looked up the word obey or obedience, you know, using your computers, and it's like 174 times that word's in the Bible. So it must be important to obey. And so the word obey, if you look at the meaning that they actually put in the word, was about getting instructions and doing it. So just as screaming was unintelligible sounds, very loud, and praise is talking about God, right? Obey is to get an instruction, to hear something and do it. That's what hupakuo means. It means, yep, I hear the instructions and I will do it. Hupatasso, submit, is more about being in alignment with. It's actually a military term, kind of like the order of rank, you know, the order of chain of command. So to submit is to be in alignment with, to be understand the alignment of what you're doing. They look alike, so if I submit to an authority, I'm in alignment with that authority. If I'm just obeying, I'm just hearing an instruction and doing what the instruction said. So they look a lot, they go together, but there's a distinction between obey and submit. And so we'll look through that. I think one of the things I want to look at is, there we go, Abraham was one of the great examples of obey. And remember, obeying is to hear and do it. I highlighted the word faith and obey in the scripture because what is faith? Faith comes from hearing. And hearing the word of God. So faith, that's why if you read in Hebrews 11, it says, by faith, Abraham obeyed. Right? What did he obey? When he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, he went out not knowing where he was going. The Lord called Abram at the time and said, go someplace. I have a place for you to go. Get up and go. So he heard the instructions, he obeyed. Likewise, I think another example of Abraham is when we get to Genesis 22. Later on, he had Isaac, and the Lord told him, get Isaac and go sacrifice him. Wow. You know, and the pattern of obeying the Abraham was, okay, well, he got up first thing in the morning, grabbed the wood, grabbed Isaac, and headed for the mountain. He obeyed the instructions. There are many other times with obey. One of the key things with obedience and obeying is that you begin, obeying begins when you have a choice of obeying. I get an instruction, then I am either going to obey or disobey the instructions. And in Romans, there's an or else, right? Obey or else. But for those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. So obeying has this idea, and this particular word for obey wasn't hupakuo, it was about being compliant and believing and yielding in belief. But it's the idea of, with obedience, oftentimes the reason we would obey is because of the or else. In Ephesians 6:1, it says, children, obey your parents. You know, and as parents, we often have to apply the or else. Right? Most children don't like the or else. Right? Obey or else. Obey or there will be wrath and fury. I'm going to give you an instruction. You as a child, you can choose whether you want the following few minutes after my instruction to be pleasant or unpleasant. So the beginning of obeying comes from training. And the reason I want to talk about this beginning of obeying is because it's the beginning of obeying. Beginning of obeying is, yeah, I'm going to do it because I don't want the or else. Or this idea of fear of reproof. I will obey because. The unsaved world will follow the laws of the land because they don't want the or else. Right? We have laws. If you break a law, there will be a fine or a punishment. Some mild, some severe. So therefore, obedience, to obey, to get an instruction, you can start with, and you can train with, I will just obey because I don't want the or else. Right? I don't want the reproof. I don't want the punishment. But that's why we have so many laws. You know, we're celebrating the birthday of our country, and I would have to say there are many more laws on the books now than there were 240 years ago, right? Yeah, we started with the basic constitution, and now there are all these laws. And some of these laws, and the purpose of these laws are to try to reflect our morality, and where we get caught up is that right now some of the laws aren't reflecting our morality or our common, what we think is moral right. But laws are there for the lawless. There is an idea of obedience that is just legal compliance. The trouble with starting with obeying being just legal compliance is that will lead to legalism. Right? I want the list of rules. Give me the list. I'll follow them. It's not sufficient. We're more than legal compliance. We need to get to love compliance. 1 John 5. It says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. That last phrase, sometimes we just leave it off. You know, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That last sentence, and his commandments are not burdensome. When we get past just fear of reproof and obeying just because I don't want the or else, but obeying because of the love we have towards God, his commandments are not burdensome. What happens for someone who's in love with God and in love with his commandments is that the Ten Commandments become the Ten Promises. Instead of thou shalt not steal, it becomes an affirmative statement. Oh, you're a Christian? You will not steal. It becomes, you shall have no other gods before me. But when you love God, it becomes a promise. Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. I have no other gods before me. Same thing for, so this is the idea. And then when John 14, when he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. That becomes more of a, not just an instruction or requirement, it's a description of you. I love God. I love the things of God. His commandments are not burdensome. They're descriptions of me. Amen? So obedience is, we can start, we train our kids, we're going to be training our kids, you know, yeah, do the or else. We'll get to a moment, you know, the Lord, actually God says, you know, if you're one of mine, I'm going to chastise you. So there will be some chastisement. We'll go through some training processes. But as we are sanctified and become more and more like God and we become more and more in love with God and in love with what God is, the commandments are not burdensome. They're a joy. So therefore, that's obedience, and obedience is truly, if you love God, you will obey. It kind of comes down to submission as well. Remember, obedience is hearing an instruction and doing it, understanding the instructions, but submission is to line up, to be in alignment with. God is holy. God is three holies. Right? Good, better, best. Fast, faster, fastest. Holy, holy, holy. Right? You taught that to me a few years ago, brother. Holy, holy, holy. It's the three. It's the most holy. It's holiest. Is that a word? English people just cringed. It's the holiestness. Right? That's even worse of a word. Sorry. But submission is, I'm going to align myself. I'm going to line up under my authority, the one whom I love and obey. And I'm going to submit to that. To submit is hupotasso. It is really actually often used as a military term. I'm in that chain. I'm under the authority of what the holy, holy, holy God is. And that's why I submit. With submission, the trouble is that word, if the world response to submission is to recoil, right? I will not submit. Why? Because I'm prideful, right? I am not going to line up with God. So the world's view of submission, if ever they think about submission, they're thinking about how can I get ahead, right? Well, if I can get someone to submit under me, I'm ahead, right? My whole purpose in life is to be the one on top of the submission chain, right? And that's kind of the world view. And it gets backwards. It's not who's in charge. Because we as Christians, we are Philippians 2:3 people. Have this mind which is in Christ. Consider others above yourself. So if we begin with submission, we must begin with what God said first. James 4, submit yourselves therefore to God. So our submission is to submit to God. And a submission is, I will align myself with God. And what happens when you submit to God? Legalism goes out the door. Because legalism is, I have to have the list of rules. Give me the list of rules, I'll follow them. And that's because I am dealing with the outward view of obedience. Tell me what to obey, I'll obey it. Give me a rule, I'll obey it. Or we'll debate it, whether it's a good rule or wrong. Right? Submission is no. I'm going to line up. I'm going to align myself and put myself under God and God's holiness. And that's going to be what drives me. So therefore, submission does not require detailed instructions. But if you're controlled by love and in alignment with God, the Holy Spirit, obedience takes on a whole new obedience and submission. Look. Beautiful. It becomes beautiful and not burdensome. Just as Jesus prayed, not my will but yours, I'm submitting to this authority of the Father. So first off, we have vertical submission. James 4. We have a vertical submission. We start there. Submit yourselves therefore to God. I'm in alignment with God. I'm in alignment with all that God thinks. All of God's holiness is what I should be in alignment with, and I'm submitting to God. Oops. But obviously, we've seen the word submit in many other places, and obviously there's the one we can always go to, wives. Submit to your husbands. Well, if we know what submit means, it's not listen to instructions and obey. That's obeying. Submitting is, I'm in alignment with my husband. We are told to be in submission in many, many ways. It's not just wives are to submit to their husbands as an act of reverence and worship. That's what it says in 1 Peter. It's not just wives submit to your husband. This is an act of reverence and worship to God. To be in appropriate submission. But we all have so many ways to be in submission. We're all to be vertically submissive to God. Young men are to submit to their elders, 1 Peter 5. Showing reverence for the age and wisdom. Christians are told to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. That's Ephesians 5. Our service to our employers is to fit under the idea of submission. But in all things, we must obey God first. So I often like to deal with, okay, so we've had some of an academic exercise. This is obedience and this is submission. Great, thanks for the information. So what? What does it mean to me? What do I do with this information? So first off, I want to understand that God's sanctification of us. Sanctification is you've been saved, but then you're going to be starting to look more like Him. We as Christians will do right and do the things of God, not out of fear of reproof, not because of the or else, but we need to do right because we love virtue. We love holiness. It says, if you love God, you'll obey my commandments. Yeah, you're going to be obeying my commandments. So we do right because it's beautiful to do right. It gives glory to the God. Remember, a few weeks back, Dr. Wheeler was talking about glory, the glory that Jesus was sharing. He went back to the basis. What is the basis of glory? Well, it's God's holiness. And God is holy, holy, holy. And you, as a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ, when you reflect his glory, it's because you're reflecting his holiness. He's impugning on you. And because you've submitted to him. So therefore, submission, obedience, is just an outcome of submission to God. The world obeys because they don't want the fine. They don't want the punishment. The Christians, we obey because we just love God. We just love holiness. We just love virtue. And that's when his commandments are not burdensome to you, but a joy. We have to understand, so are we all there? Are we all there today? If we're there in every part of our life, are we completely submitted? Are we a done deal? No. He is faithful to finish, to complete that which he has begun. So there's sanctification going on. So let me begin by a couple of admonishments. So first, parents, teach your children, right? We're instructed to do that. Teach your children what it means to obey. Let them see what it looks like. Teach it to them. Obedience is complete, right? First time, you're following the instructions. Don't let your kids get by not following your instructions. Because just as there will be this idea of chastisement. Chastisement is, if you look at it, it's actually beating with a rod, right? Spanking. It could be pain inflicting to some point. Is the idea of how we're going to be trained. So even the Lord will train us. Hebrews chapter 12, I was going to read all of it, but Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 6, it says, he whom the Lord loves, he chastens. And if you read down through 6, verses 6 all the way down through 11, eventually it says, and oh, by the way, if the Lord is not chastising you, you're probably not his. Because he's going to be correcting and chastising his children and the one that are under his rule. So what does it mean for us? That's also in Hebrews 6:12 is where it says, no chastisement for the moment seems pleasurable. But the end of that, the outcome of that, is the peaceful fruit of righteousness. And we start to look like God's holy. And then in Matthew 5, when Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they'll see your good works. And do what? Give glory to the Father who's in heaven. We obey because we love God. We submit to God because we love God. And he's worthy of our submission. One of the last thing is, so what do we do is understand submission is, yeah, submission is salvation. Because in Romans 10, it says, if you confess with your mouth, what? Jesus is Lord. One of the things that happened with the obedience is that when Jesus was speaking throughout the New Testament, everything obeyed. Jesus was out on the sea, and the disciples were freaked out. Jesus woke up and said, peace. He spoke an instruction, the winds died down. He spoke something to a tree, it withered. He spoke to the demons, they fled. Jesus said a word, he is Lord. What the deal is that some of us don't know it. Or some of us have not trying to figure out, oh, I don't want to believe Jesus is Lord, right? That's a lost person. Romans 10 says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, it's the beginning of submission. I am lining up. Salvation is submitting to God. You are Lord. I'm in alignment and I'm under you. And I will love you. Confess Jesus is Lord. That is what salvation and submission is. We are people who obey God. We are people who are submitted to God. And it's beautiful. The world doesn't know how to... The world has no response for the beauty of loving God and obedience. They don't know how to deal with it. They don't have a response. There is no answer for submitting to God, loving Him, and operating in His holiness. So that's my call to us. We are obedient people, not just because of we fear the reproof. We are obedient because we love God. His commands are not burdensome. I am under submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Therefore, everything I do and everything I operate in is in alignment with Him, trying that His holiness would be impugned upon me, and I will walk in a manner worthy of the calling that has been placed in. If you don't know that submission yet, we'd love to talk to you. I'd love to let you know. The Lord God does love you. He wants your obedience. He wants your submission. And we follow in that pattern that Jesus did. Not my will, but yours be done. The only other scripture that comes to mind just because of that is if you delight yourself in the Lord, He will give you the desires of your heart. Some people think that's, well, I'll get stuff. No, He's going to place onto my heart. My desires are going to be His desires. Even better, because no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor mind can comprehend what He has prepared for us. So let us be people, obedient people that submit to God, walk in a manner worthy of the calling, and declare, great is the Lord and worthy to be praised. Let's pray. Father, we come to you. We're thankful to you that you love us. And even as you said, if you love me, you will be obeying my commandments. Father, we pray that each of us would know your voice, would know your heart, and would follow in your ways, Father. And for those that are here, maybe perhaps among us, who are yet to believe, yet to submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, perhaps this is the day, Father, they could celebrate that. We pray your will is accomplished. We pray your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. We bless your name. And we love you, Lord Jesus.